Welcome to Classical Companion. I'm Diane Jones, and over these weeks and months, I'm chatting with artists and musicians about the music they are turning to in these challenging times. Today, I'm very, very happy to be speaking with Frank Dominguez. You hear Frank every Saturday morning here on Classic FM as host of Concierto, and I'm so glad he's taking some time out to share some of his favorite music with us. Frank, thank you so much for speaking with us today.
Thank you for having me, Diane. I'm really looking forward to it.
The first thing I want to do, and I'm doing this with everyone, is just kind of checking in and seeing how you're doing, because we've had to make some serious adjustments to our lives recently.
Yes, it's been challenging for me as well. I am working remotely these days, both in producing Concierto, the program that your station is good enough to carry, but also one of the hosts and the general manager at WDAV in Davidson, where Concierto is produced. And so I'm busy overseeing the operations of that station. And so it's been an added challenge to try to make sure that we're keeping a safe workplace, that we're giving people the opportunity to still contribute by working remotely. There's a lot to keep track of. So it's been, honestly, a kind of stressful period, but with a nice surprises, being able to, since I'm working at home remotely, have lunch with my wife on a daily basis, which I couldn't do before when I went into work about 25 miles from where I live. It's also nice to be able to not have to worry about a commute or worry about what exactly I'm wearing. Unless I'm having one of those Zoom meetings we've all become proficient in, I tend to sort of wear whatever I throw on in the morning. And so that's been pleasant. And I'm trying to look on the bright side of those things and not be too concerned about the downside. Like a lot of people have a lot of anxiety, not only about the health situation, but also the impact that this is having on the economy and specifically on the arts. My heart just breaks to think of the musicians and other performers who are out of work right now because there's just no option. And the prospect looming is that it's going to take a while to get back to normal. Even when these stay-at-home orders are lifted, it's going to be difficult for people to feel safe in concert settings again. So we're looking down the road at a difficult transition, I think. But how lucky we are to work in the field of classical music, where almost every other selection provides some kind of inspiration and comfort and solace. So all in all, I'm feeling positive, but definitely feeling some of the strain as well.
Indeed. And since you bring it up, what is it that you look for? What do you start to turn to in times like these? What were you looking for as you were putting this list of your favorites together for us?
Well, I tried to sort of respond to my instincts and my gut reactions and not necessarily think about it too much. And so a lot of what came up was just what came to mind as I sat down to think of music that I find inspiring, comforting, that I would seek out at a time like this. And so most of the pieces have a similar kind of gentleness to them, although there are a couple of livelier pieces in there. And they reflect my various interests in terms of classical music, but also various backgrounds and influences of my life. So I find that one thing that brings most of these pieces together is the thread of people in my life that are important to me. Some of them are gone. And so I've been thinking a lot, and I guess that has to do with the isolation we all feel. So I think probably that explains why my mind and my heart, when I was thinking of music for this program, went to those people in my life who in the past had an influence on me.
Well, that's a perfect opportunity to start down your list. You've given us some marvelous selections here. Starting with Ralph Vaughan Williams, what is it that drew you to The Lark Ascending?
I had not heard The Lark Ascending when I was first introduced to it, thinking it's probably about 34, 35 years ago now. No, but, well, however long ago it was, I hadn't heard the piece before then. And I was introduced to it at the memorial service for my father-in-law. My father-in-law passed away only a few years after I married his daughter, And both of my in-laws were musicians, professional orchestra musicians. For someone like myself who loves classical music but had not had the opportunity to learn to play music, it was like a dream family to be married into. I got to hear them play chamber music at home. I would go occasionally to regional orchestra concerts that they were giving because they jobbed out to various places. And it was just a wonderful few years I spent getting to know him in particular. When he passed away, his wife selected this music for his memorial service. And the symbolism of the lark, whether you take it literally as a bird ascending, as represented by the violin passages, or you think of it as a spirit ascending, is just really beautiful and meaningful to me. And so this was the first piece that came to mind when you asked me to put together a playlist.
Let's take a listen to The Lark Ascending from Ray Vaughan Williams. Sarah Chang is the violinist, and Bernard Haitink leads the London Philharmonic. I'm with you. It is such an uplifting piece. The violin just keeps rising and rising and I think carrying us with it.
Yeah, it's gorgeous. It really is something that I find not sad, but rather hopeful.
Mm-hmm.
Comforting, gentle, but also hopeful and uplifting.
Now, this next piece that you chose is one that I wasn't familiar with. This is from Ernesto Lecuona. Talk to us about this one.
Sure. I thought since your listeners know me for concerto, I should make sure to represent some of the Latin American artists that are featured on the program. And so I wanted to make sure to have a song by one of my favorites of those artists, Ernesto Lecuona. Lecuona was a Cuban composer, sometimes referred to as the Cuban Gershwin, because like George Gershwin, he had a foot in both popular music and concert hall music. He was trained at the conservatory in Havana. His elder sister, Ernestina, was a concert pianist. So Lecuona understood the classical world very well. But like a lot of young people, he also wanted to be hip and have a reference to contemporary music. And he did that quite well. He was successful primarily as a songwriter. And Siboney is one of his classic boleros, I guess you'd call them, a reference to a type of Latin American song form. It's a really beautiful piece of music, talking about, the lyric of it talks about a man just being passionately obsessed with his love. And hearing it in a piano version, even without the lyrics, you can still feel a lot of that passion. And I selected Siboney not just because I wanted to represent concerto for your listeners, but also because it has a very strong association for me with my own parents. Growing up in New York City, but of Cuban immigrant parents, I heard a lot of the music of their lifetime. And Siboney, this popular song by Ernesto Lecuona, was definitely one of the songs that my parents would play on their phonograph.
Here is a performance by Rodolfo Brito on piano. Siboney by Ernesto Lecuona. you're not the first person who has talked about the memory of growing up and having a parent bringing this piece to you. And I think that's a big part of what draws us to some of these things, are those situations that, especially growing up, that really imprint a piece into our psyche.
Absolutely. And what I enjoy about Lecuona's music is the way it brings together my parents' world and then the world that I was introduced to of classical music. My parents, very little education when they came to the United States, and so they didn't know classical music per se. I was fortunate to be in an environment where there was classical music readily available on the radio, and at school we would be taken to concerts, and they encouraged that a great deal. So when I find music that brings together their background and then the new world that I was introduced to, it means a lot to me. And that music is part of what drives the idea of concerto.
Well, you mentioned New World, and this next work is from the New World Symphony of Dvorak. Why did you choose the Largo from the New World Symphony?
Again, it's one of those pieces that is comforting and uplifting and sort of reflects my frame of mind at this particular time. It has an association with my father-in-law also, in that the last time I saw him perform shortly before his death, he was performing in an orchestra that played the New World Symphony. I chose the Largo, and I suggested the vocal version of the Largo that exists. Its melody lent itself so nicely to a hymn that it was adapted into the hymn Going Home. And I thought that that would be a beautiful thing to listen to at a time like this, where we're working from home and separated from some of the folks we'd like to be close to right now. But we have the hope that at some point we will be going home together. And so I thought that would be appropriate, as well as the personal associations I have with it.
This is Going Home, the Largo from the New World Symphony, sung by Kathleen Battle. It is so different, I think, with the vocal, with the Going Home vocal version or vocal adaptation of the Largo than the instrumental, but they both are very, very uplifting.
I hope your listeners find it so. I definitely feel that way about it. There's definitely a melancholy as part of the melody, but there's also the feeling that whatever we're going through, whatever sadness we have to endure, in the end, we return home. And that's what I think I most draw from the music.
Your next work is from, now I was familiar with Ernesto Lecuona. I was not familiar with Arturo Marquez.
Sure. Arturo Marquez is a Mexican composer from the region of Mexico called Veracruz. Veracruz is, I believe, a coastal area. And for whatever reason, there was always in Veracruz an influx of Cuban influence, particularly in music, and the dance form known as the danzón. Now, a lot of times when people think of Latin American music, they're thinking of relatively recent developments like salsa. But before salsa, there was a traditional Cuban dance form called the danzón. Your listeners may be familiar with Aaron Copland's Danzón Cubano, which does a good imitation of the traditional danzón, but turns it into an orchestral work. The traditional Cuban danzón is for a small, what you might call a chamber orchestra or salon orchestra consisting of strings, piano, and then flute and some percussion. And it has a very specific form to it, which builds up gradually through each danson. It's the sort of music that my parents would have danced when they were young people. They were both born in the 20s and so came of age in the late 30s and early 40s. And so this is the kind of music that they often played on the phonograph at home, later versions of the danson. But in this particular version by Arturo Márquez, he has tapped into the danson tradition, which transferred over from Cuba to Veracruz, and does a brilliant adaptation of it for orchestra. You know, as someone who grew up listening to music and seeing my parents dance to it, I can really vouch for its authenticity, and yet it works very well as orchestral concert music. He's written several danzones, but this is his most famous one, the Danzón Number 2.
This is a performance from the Simón Bolívar Symphony Orchestra led by Gustavo Dudamel. You say you would watch your parents dancing to these danzón. Did they teach you? Did you learn?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I can cut a rug. That's one of the reasons, too, I wanted to include this. I didn't want it to be just a program of sad stuff. And the danzón is just such uplifting music on a physical level. And the rhythm is so infectious. The music is so sophisticated. It's not just dance music. It also has a really sophisticated form. And of course, in the hands of a masterful composer like Arturo Márquez, it takes on even greater depth and meaning. So it's I really think a very enjoyable work, and one that I'm pleased to take a little bit of solace in during these stressful times.
Indeed. Well, this next work that you've chosen, you were not the first to have chosen this work. I will tell you that. Tell us what it is and why you chose it.
Well, again, I think there's a hopeful and uplifting message in it. It's the conclusion of the Symphony No. 2, Resurrection, by Gustav Mahler. My understanding, without being a Mahler scholar, is that it's not so much a spiritual resurrection or a religious form of resurrection that Mahler was dealing with, but the idea of rebirth in general terms. And that's certainly something that we can take inspiration from during this particular challenge that we're facing right now, knowing that if we're conscientious and do our part to help in the spread of the pandemic or stem the spread of the pandemic, we will get to a point where we can start over again and hopefully be better for it. So I thought having the ending of the Resurrection Symphony, which is such thrilling and inspiring music, would be a great addition to the program.
Indeed it is. This is a massive performance. It's Claudio Abbado leading the Vienna Philharmonic and the Arnold Schoenberg Choir, and they are joined by soprano Cheryl Studer and mezzo-soprano Waltraud Meyer.
Thank you.
it is almost a physical feeling as that Resurrection Symphony ends. It kind of dives into your physical being and takes hold of you, I think.
It really does. I've had the pleasure of seeing it performed a couple of times, and it's every bit as electrifying to listen to it in the concert hall as it is to hear it in a really fine recording such as you've just shared. It's wonderful, uplifting music, and if we need anything right now, it's uplift. So I thought I'd make sure to include it.
Most definitely. Well, we are coming to the end of your list. You have one more work for us, and this is a traditional work. Talk to us about the Canción de Cuna.
This is another Cuban work. Since I'm not actually doing concierto with you right now, I felt I could go to other, or rather I felt like I didn't have to go to other Latin American countries and could just stay in Cuba where my roots are. And it's by Leo Brouwer. Leo Brouwer is a well-known composer, contemporary composer. He's now, I believe, in his 80s. But his influence particularly is felt in the music he's written for guitar. He's also a composer for Latin American films. So he has quite a vast catalog of music. The Canción de Cuna is a traditional Afro-Cuban lullaby, which he arranged for guitar. Another fun thing about Brouwer, the reason I included him, is that he is related to Ernesto Lecuona, the Cuban composer you heard earlier on. Leo Brouwer is the grandson of Ernesto Lecuona's sister, Ernestina. I guess that makes him the grandnephew of Lecuona.
Mm-hmm.
But Brouwer is well known for his guitar music. And this gentle Canción de Cuna, or cradle song lullaby, is just a beautiful way to wrap up any program, and also the kind of thing that really makes you feel calmed and soothed as a remedy for any kind of anxiety you might be feeling.
It's a beautiful performance here from Pepe Romero with the Canción de Cuna, a traditional Cuban work arranged by Leo Brouwer. That's a beautiful choice to wrap things up, Frank, that wonderful lullaby to kind of bring things full circle and bring us back to that calm center.
I'm glad you liked it, Diane. I was hoping it would be a good way to cap off the program. And certainly I always enjoy hearing it, and it kind of centers me and makes me feel like things are going to be all right.
And, you know, I'm convinced things are going to be all right. I've heard this said, you know, we're not all in the same boat, but we are all in the same storm. And I think we're going to come out on the far side of it together and better as a whole, I hope.
That's certainly my hope, too. And I think programs like this are a great way to bring us together. And I really thank you for including me in this one.
Well, I thank you for being a part of it. I'd love to give you just one last opportunity, if you'd like, to leave us with any thoughts about the music that you think folks might want to tune to in times like these, or just general words of hope and encouragement for us.
I feel very fortunate to work in classical music radio, because it is music that people turn to, even if they're not necessarily predominantly classical music listeners. If you look back at the times in our history when we've needed to come together, it very often happens around music that has this kind of background, that has this kind of aspirational quality to it. And when you think of the many wonderful popular performers, when they really get ambitious and want to make profound statements, they go to a chorus, they go to an orchestra, they go to those traditional musical forms that really last and stand through the test of time. So I believe that even though you can get comfort and support from all kinds of music, and I listen to all kinds of music in my everyday life, it really is classical music that delivers us to a place of introspection and spiritual up that really makes a difference at a time like this.
Well, once again, I've been speaking to Frank Dominguez. Frank is the host and producer of Concierto. You hear that every Saturday morning here on Classic FM at 11 o'clock. Frank, thank you once again for taking some time out and chatting with us today and sharing this incredible playlist with us.
Thank you for having me, Diane. I really enjoyed talking to you, and I so appreciate WCNY's including Concierto on your schedule and all the listeners we have there in the Syracuse region. So thanks so much for having me.